Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Yadula Chimim Sa Ta Ti Zerura Alephet Gimel Yitaf Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Kaharein No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamayim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Bahem Tacharem Rakame Sitkatcha Tamid Damlem Betet Resh Saditaf Gimel. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet Shemesh or Chama, the planet we call the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Et Kufbet Tet Dunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kudushata Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kavel Ushma Tsuyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Sadiyutaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apaim, Veral Chesed Ve'emet, Notse chesed la'alafim, Notse awon wafesha, V'chata'a v'nake. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat by studying two verses that have this same energy within them. These verses come from the Tanakh. The first that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudshabarichu Ishkin Tebid Hilu Erchimud Hilud Hilu Erchimu L'yakta L'shem Yud He Bevav He V'yichudash L'im B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanehu Tzod Tzaduni Katzipur Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to create Tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the last letter of these five words, we create Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion, concealed within it. The letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai, Yohewahe, Elohecham tadibaku, kasher asitem, ad hayom hazeh. Now for the year 5776, that's the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot vayechaskum afechem halevim ad kelo tamlacha Yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halevim yishrei leval lehitkadesh mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wa wa wa, yo la yo, alame, hey hey hey, aka a, re ka ha. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. This verse also connects to the year of the pause. Bichu ba Adonai. Yohewahe, ade ad kibia, yohe adonai, yohewahe, tsur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in this year. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishem imeni lo tarpeni adili ruki. The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachago iyam asher yitchabe sham uchaltem Eli El Nachon, Wehalakti Hem, Wehayim Yeshno, Varets Bechipasti, O Tobakal Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo Lanetzah, Yoved Roav, Yomru Ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom l'amil Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'aktav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. Now we're going to connect to the 72 names of God. And we're going to just scan these verses because we did just recently say them out loud. So please scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim we will also scan. Going to connect to the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this 26th day of Av. Rabbi Yaakov Meshulam Orenstein, Rabbi Yehuda Fataya, who is a well-known, very famous Sephardic sage. He passed in 1942, but there's a famous story of him dealing with the soul of Shabtai Tzvi, the infamous false messiah, and we have a connection, a link to it on our webpage, having to do with the Hilulot of Av. Rabbi Yoel ben Rabbi Hananya Yom Tov Teitelbaum and Rabbi Meir Ashkenazi and Rabbi Eliyahu Baruch Goldschmidt. And this is the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. So tonight's class is a Zohar class. I'm just going to remind you, because we've done it in the earlier class, please make the connection to the meditation for this period between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur that cleanses the thoughts, which is the first step in preparing yourself for Teshuvah. Tonight's class is a Zohar class. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the first row, the right-hand column. When you click on that link, it gives you a landing page with all of the parashas listed. Please scroll down to Parasha Ekev. And while I know it's not the week of Parasha Ekev, there is no Zohar on Parasha Re'eh. And since there's this two-week cycle of study, we're going to study the beginning of section 3 of Parasha Ekev. There are 4 parts to section 3, but we're only going to do one section tonight, the first one. And we commence with Pasuk 31. V'asara divarim tzarich adam l'me'ebayed b'sudat achad netilat yadayim tein yana l'tachna sh'tei kacharot v'shabbat t'lit ha'alamei kol t'lat se'udatim ulo safa mecho al hakodesh revia alean hara patora bishraga kimadu ukmuha shulchan bitz batzafon umnora badarom V'tzarich ha-seba k'ma diok muha He-sebu echad me-barich le-kulam. The translation. There are 10 things to do for the meals on Shabbat. One is the hand washing. Two is the preparation of the two Shabbatot, or the two challah loaves for Shabbat. And I will mention that the Kabbalists have 12. Three, to eat of three meals and add from the weekdays to holiness. Four, to light a candle on the table, as was explained in section two. That a table should be to the north side and the candle on the south side of that table. And to recline, as was explained, that if they recline together, one makes the blessing for everyone. My commentary. There are many people who are not familiar with the items listed in this pasuk. It is also too long to explain each one of them. One will find some of the explanations online in our prayer classes. Other items need to be explained. If this is not done to your satisfaction, ask a question. For either our question and answer session on Wednesday evenings, or send a question by text or email. And if you will not be able to participate directly, send the text or email. Or you can ask a question now if any of the four items are not familiar with you and you'd like deeper discussion of them. Pasuk 32. U Shabbat b'kol milui tzarich li'itosfa meicho al ha-kodesh ben b'ma'akarav u'mishtav ben b'ilvusho ben b'chasei bateya Tzarich letafna leyamesiba shapira bekama karim uksatot meruk man mikol deit veteya kiman detakin chupa lekala. The Shabbatai Malketa the Ihi Kala Uginda Hawonafke Mare Matnitina Ash Leakta Muta Learha Wahawo Amre Bo'i kala, utrikin le'yat ara, shira v'chedba, le'patora, le'gapa. The translation. On Shabbat, one should add from weekdays to holiness in everything he does. In his food, in his drink, in his dress, and in his seating. He should prepare a comfortable reclining bed with many pillows and embroidered cushions from all that he has in his house, as when preparing the marriage canopy for the bride, because Shabbat is both a queen and a bride. Due to this, the sages of the Mishnah used to hasten to come out on Shabbat evening to welcome her on the way. And they used to say, Bo'i kala, bo'i kala, bo'i kala, three times. Come here, come the bride. there is a need to invoke on that table song and joy, excuse me, on that table, song and joy for her. My commentary. The phrase come bride is Boi Kala, which is in the 10th stanza of the song Lecha Dodi, which is sung on Friday evening as part of the Kabbalat Shabbat ritual, receiving the Sabbath. The Kabbalists say this phrase three times to connect to the three columns of the Tree of Life. I am not sure why the Zohar mentions that the sages of the Mishnah said it twice, instead of teaching that the item needs to be said three times. And this commentary was written 4 years ago. Since then, I have realized that the reason that the Zohar does not mention it three times, but only twice, is to protect the understanding and the connection to the three-column system. If one is wise, if one has made the understanding of the Tree of Life, they will know to say it three times. Pasuk 33. Willod ela deit raza achara ke gavna tetzarich lekabela gerid gavirta bekama nechorim tishragim b'shabbat uvkama anugin Uvushin Shayapirin Uveta Metukna Bekama Mane Tetikuna Bahaseba Yafa Lekol Had Vechad Uchai Hedva Vetikuna Garmin De Ishta Arat Shicha bisha bacha shoka paravon bevikya behes ped bilvushin ukamin ka amalta te imelea zohareva zoh. The translation, there is yet another secret meaning to it. One needs to welcome Shabbat as it behooves one to welcome a lady, by lighting many lamps for Shabbat, by many pleasures, by beautiful clothing, a house set with many adorned vessels and nicely set up comfortable chairs for everyone. For joy and preparation cause the evil handmaid, that is the klipah, to remain in the dark, in hunger, in weeping, in mourning, and in a black dress like a widow. When the one is filled, the other is destroyed, because the klipah is filled only with the destruction of holiness. Similarly, holiness becomes full from the destruction of the klipah. My commentary. Hashem created both holiness and the klipah. Actually, the klipah does not want to destroy holiness. That is not the job of the klipah. His job is to test people when given permission by the higher courts. With that said, there is an enemy of holiness. That is the head klipah, the Satan. People are taught by the sages of the Mishnah and the Zohar to include the Satan as the only enemy of the children of Israel. This image of a teeter-totter between holiness and Satan is a metaphor that allows people to eventually realize that both holiness and Satan are connected and doing the work of the Creator. This pasuk applies to people on the level of fear. It does not apply to the people on the level of love. This is my opinion. Pasuk 34. Yetzerto matronita kadisha malchut hakodesh benachta b'shabbat kalila masar sefiran meatra bashva shemahan she'enan minim Ninchakin, Bekama Markivot, Behevan Ukama, Kayalin, Umashrayan, Umaoka Nafik, Lekabila, Bekama, Mashirian, Beishtarat, Yetzerara, She Habisha Bahashoka Karmalta below Bala Elamerkavot. The translation. The good inclination is the Holy Queen, Malchut of Holiness that descended on Shabbat, that is comprised of 10 sephirot. She is decorated with 7 names that are not erased, with the many chariots of the living creatures, and with the many armies and camps of angels. The king goes out to her with many camps, and the evil inclination, that is the wicked handmaid, remains in the dark, like a widow without her husband, without any chariots. My commentary. This image is a wonderful metaphor, in my opinion, yet it is false, since the Malchut rises to unify with their Anpin. The accompanying entities are supporting that rise, and the Zohar describes this as descending. This is my opinion. Pasuk 35. V'ilein di'itmar alayhu v'im zabchin v'lam katrin l'melechet l'imlechet ha'shamayim l'mazalot asher lo tziviti hu pulchana Tishivcha bisha, tishalte biarve, shabbatot biarve, lele leviyot, mahawo ilain avin, awo not lin levushin, ukamin vichashkan, mehorin viyavdin, Chespeda belele, Shabbatot kidei leishtakfa, Pachada kimadihi, Sharya kigam, Zeleumat, Zeasat ha-Elohim. The translation. It was said about them, to those who sacrifice and burn incense, to the Queen of the Heavens, and the constellation which I have not commanded, which is the worship with which they serve the wicked handmaid that rules on Shabbat Eve, and on Wednesday Eve. What do they do on Shabbat? He responds, they wear black clothes, they extinguish their lights, and lament on Shabbat Eve to participate with the wicked handmaid to be in sadness in trouble and darkness as she is, because Elohim has made the one as well as the other. My commentary. Personally, I would like to hear a response to this pasuk from the Black Hat community. Pasuk 36. Ba'atar dechadu Yisrael v'itcharav ve'matisha itmar bishkinta imak adisha Eka Yashva Badad Hair Rabati Amchaita Ke Almana Uvkabin Belel Tisha Av Nechorin Ushregin Li Avdin Chesped Yadvin Kavelim Ishtatva Badochaka Dishkinta Begindinun Garmula Kohahutaviru. After Israel sinned and the temple was destroyed, it is said regarding the Shekhinah, Holy Ima, how does the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become like a widow? Therefore, people extinguish lamps and candles on Tisha B'Av and sit like mourners to participate in the sorrow of the Shekhinah because they caused her all of this calamity in their iniquities. My commentary. This is a pasuk that creates a Kabbalistic halakha about lighting yahrzeit candles on Tisha B'Av. Most people do not follow this halakha since they do not read the Zohar. Pasuk 37. Chamisha akosti avai kulu shetita alemecheve Al patora mile dioraita shviaha learka al patora begindianim yetun al patoreya tamina anatilat yadaim b'mayim. Acharonim Tashia Abirkat Amazon Ashira Kostivraka Gitaris Liachtira Alaihu Haknalon Biraza Kadisha Fehi Kalulab Measar Sefira v'ihu patora v'kutsha barichu v'sidra digura u'gin kach u'kmu ha'rabanan shulchan patsafon. The translation. The fifth thing it behooves us to prepare on Shabbat is the cup of wine for saying, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. The Hebrew word is vayachulu. And namely, this is referring to Kiddush. The sixth is to speak words of Torah at the table. The seventh is to extend the meal and allow the poor to come to the table. The eighth is washing the hands with the finger bowl water. The ninth is the blessing after the meal. And the tenth is the cup for the blessing after the meal. It is necessary to repeat these 10 things and to prepare them in accordance with the holy meaning. For she, Malchut, is comprised of 10 sephirot, and Malchut is considered the table of the Holy One, blessed be he, from the side of Givurah. Hence the sages have explained that the table should face the north, which is from the side of Givurah. My commentary. The eighth item is described as washing hands with the finger bowl water. This has come to be known as Mayim Achronim, final waters. It does not have words spoken about it, and once it is done, there is no speaking until after the final blessing by the person who drank the wine, the tenth item. What the Kabbalists explain is that it is possible to connect one's hands to some negativity through eating. The Mayim Achronim washes the Klipah, Satan, from trying to grasp some aspect of holiness. That is the Kavanah one is recommended to have when this occurs, when the final waters are poured over the fingers. Remove Satan. Pasuk 38. Chad netilat yadayim teha ki okmuha berabanan dematznit matznitin yadayim zuhamot pesulot la bracha begi. Dinun shniyot latuma dehu avatuma dehu rishon kadinun mesu avot vekadinun tehorot inun shiki shniyot la bracha levatli bracha. La sharia ela al tahara tahana dehu ish tahor ish chesed sharia aleya birkata hahidiktiv kashemen atov al harash vegomer Ugin da daber el acharon de el banal le mor kotavarachu et bnei Israel vigomer biuk muha kol tohen ham varech mat varech yusheno mevarech ein mit varech biuk muha mare matnitin kol bracha she'en ba azkara u'malchut lav shemeya bracha malchut Adonai. The translation. Now comes the words of the faithful shepherd, which is the soul of Moshe, who explains these 10 things it behooves one to do at a Shabbat meal. The first is the washing of hands, and this means that the sages of the Mishnah explained that filthy hands are unfit for blessing because they are twice removed from uncleanness. When hands are unclean, they are considered a principal cause of defilement, which is once removed from uncleanness. And when the hands are clean, they are considered twice removed from uncleanness and are fit to bless, because blessing rests only on purity, because blessing rests on a priest who is a pure man, a man of kindness. This is the meaning of it. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Therefore speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, in this way you shall bless the children of Israel. And it was explained that every priest who blesses is blessed, and if he does not bless, he is not blessed. The sages of the Mishnah have further explained that any blessing that does not have a recitation of the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Malchut, that is, king of the world, is not considered a blessing, as Malchut is the name of Adonai. Thus, every blessing should contain a recitation of the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Malchut, which is Adonai. My commentary. There is a hint to a spiritual law in this pasuk. Why are washed hands considered twice removed from uncleanness? This indicates that it takes two separations to keep the klipah at bay. This applies to many different regulations in kashrut, as well in other frames of reference. Pasuk 39. V'od matilat yadayim zarich liyito lo nadhirka degazru aleya yadhirkin v'hahushata shaya yad Hashem Aleya vihi yad divraka v'sitra dechesed deveya hachma v'yad yamineya vihi yad dikdusha v'sitra digbura v'sharya yo bedina V'yihiyat Yehuda Misitra Detachatzi Detat Tisharya Biyad Pirkin Degufad Inun Shanayim Asar Pirkin Be train deroin, the train shokin, u train the gufa, u rit. The translation. In addition, the hands need to be washed up to the joint that attached the five fingers, because it was decreed to wash 14. Yud-Dalad joints in the five fingers. Each finger has three joints and the thumb two. At that time, the hand, the Yad, Yud-Dalad, of Hashem rests on him. It is the hand of blessing from the aspect of Chesed, wherein Chachma lies in the right hand, because during the greatness of Zeranpin, Chesed ascends to become Chachma. It is the hand of holiness from the aspect of Gilurah that prevails on judgment. It is also the hand of unification from the aspect of Tiferet that unifies right and left into one. This rests on the 14 joints of the body, because there are 12 joints in the two arms, three joints in each arm there, and the two legs with three joints in each leg, which adds up to six, and together they are 12. Together with the two in the body and the genital organ, they total 14. And it was explained that 3 times 14 also refers to the three sephirot, Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. My commentary. There is a meditation regarding these three hands of 14 joints. 3 times 14 is 42. A Kabbalah student should recognize the connection to the 42-letter name of creation. Pasuk 40. Udlat zinin yod yu membet. Yud 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 min yud dalad yud dalad yud dalad. Ramuz yuva rechecha. Ya'er isa min. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, Dalad, 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 Mi Yad, 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 Inun Ramizin, Bi Adonai, 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 Ve Amar Hanavio. Alayhu hekal Adonai Yohe Wahe, hekal Adonai Yohe Wahe, hekal Adonai Yohe Wahe, Ema v'hai natila, v'yad v'ich tat kanat. The translation. 3 times 14 equals 42, and the three yuds in 3 times hand, yud dalet, are indicated in Hashem bless you. The Hebrew is yibarechecha. Hashem make his face shine upon you. The verse is, in Hebrew is ya'er. And Hashem lift up his countenance to you. And the Hebrew is verse is yisa. Of Yud He Vav He, Yud He Vav He, and Yud He Vav He in the verses, meaning the three Yuds and the three times Yud He Vav He, in Hashem bless you, Hashem make his face to shine upon you, and Hashem lift up his countenance to you. The three Dalits in the three hands are implied in Adonai, Adonai, and Adonai. The prophet said about them, the three times Yud He Vav He, and three times Adonai. The temple of Hashem, the temple of Hashem, the temple of Hashem are these. This temple is the secret of Malchut that is called Adonai. Therefore, it repeats three times the temple of Hashem, which is the secret of the three times Adonai, and three times Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, as mentioned. Hence the decree of washing hands, to indicate the secret of the 14 joints and the three times 14 in Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet, which is the secret meaning of three times Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and three Adonai, as mentioned. My commentary. This pasuk is clear. This is not the meditation I mentioned above. Remember, there are 70 faces of Torah. This is the end of our class. Pasuk 41 and the balance of the Pasukim relate to the other portions that we broke our hours up into in our study of this section. Does anyone have any questions? Motzei Shabbat or really 16? Go ahead, Jasmine.
My question is about the one of the first pasuks that says that we should bring add from weekdays to holiness in everything he does, in his food, in his drink, his dress, his sitting. I don't understand what it means that bring from the weekdays.
When are you ready to light candles? At candle lighting time or an hour earlier? Or 2 hours earlier? That's what it means to add week time from the weekdays to Shabbat. When do you do Havdalah? Do you do it at the time that you're specified in the various schedules from different locations on the web? Or do you do your Havdalah at later in the evening, maybe even tomorrow morning, you know, Sunday morning? This is adding the weekdays to Shabbat. Until you do Havdalah, Shabbat is still there. If you take the time out of the weekdays, if that becomes Shabbat, you're adding to the holiness of Shabbat. That applies to before Shabbat, bringing Shabbat early, and it applies to leaving Shabbat later. That's just in the frame of time. How do you add to Shabbat with your clothing? By having special Shabbat clothes that are your best clothes. And that consciousness, it pervades the clothing. And it pervades your connection to Shabbat. You get the idea of what is the verse is saying, Jasmine?
Now I do. Okay.
Baruch Hashem.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It's a good question. Go ahead, Hana.
Okay. It says, this is not the meditation I mentioned above. What reference is this to which meditation?
It's a meditation that you'll find on the Daily Zohar. If you go look on that pasuk number, I forget what it is. But if you go look at the commentary he wrote for that day, you'll see a video where he includes the meditation.
And you don't remember which pasuk? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't remember which pasuk that I made the comment that it's, I believe it was, let me find it for you. It's here. It's Pasuk 39.
Okay.
If you follow on the Daily Zohar and find his commentary for Pasuk 39 or within that day,
okay,
there's a video connected to that for the three hands for the three hands meditation. And I believe if you go to the Daily Zohar website, when you go there, there's a drop-down section that has a lot of other connections, a lot of other links. And one of them will specify the three hands meditation, and it will take you to his commentary of that.
Okay, so it's called the three hands meditation?
Yes. I don't know if that's what he calls it. That's what I call it, because it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And it's related to three times 14 is 42.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't mean the same to me in 2015 because I didn't have any kind of comment there, but I had a question mark. So I didn't follow up on it. So, okay, thank you for your answer. Okay.
No problem. Any other questions?
Well, I just have a commentary to say. I believe that we don't have a Zohar for this week. It's for us to review Ekev again this week because it's so important for us to follow the rules of Shabbat. That's my
very true
personal history.
Are you reading my mind?
Huh? No, no,
are
I'm
you reading
my
mind?
Commentary. No, no, no.
But that was the reason that I decided to do it. In an earlier year, I would give you a section of the prologue. But I realized that we need to make a deeper connection to the Shabbat.
Well, we did it, but we did it in August of 15. So it's been a while, and it's a long. We have quite a few handouts, you know, because I remember sending you a picture of my little bowl for the Mayim Aquanim.
Right.
And I had always thought that it was associated with Passover because I had seen it in a video of Passover. And I had actually bought one when I was in Israel, but I thought it was just used at Passover because I never saw even anyone in Israel, even around the Orthodox friends that we had Shabbat dinners with. So that was why I associated it with Passover. And
actually, I bought one.
But I'm glad you're deciding to stay on spot again. So that's good.
Jasmine, do you want to express that again so it's clear?
No, I want to say that about maybe not even a year ago, I bought one of those fingertips. I don't know how you call the
Mayim
Aquanim.
I have one.
I call it the final waters bowl.
Okay. What I'm trying to picture myself is the table on the north side, so and the candles go at this in the same table on the south side.
On the south side of the table that's in the north. Does that help?
Yeah, but I was just trying to picture in my mind the way that I have my table set to the north, but, well, I think I understand now.
Well, look, most people have a dining room table where they're sitting, and they bring their guests in for their Shabbat dinner. And they put that table in the center of the room because that's the way the architects designed it and the light is hanging over the center. But if you move it 1 inch to the north, that's all it takes. It doesn't mean you have to move it to the north side of the room, you know, so that there's no seats between the table and the north wall of the room. Just that it's slightly off center to the north. And then your candles, which once you light your candles, they should be lit on the table itself, and you don't move them until Shabbat is over. But a lot of people don't like that. So they light their candles on a mantle, or they light their candles elsewhere. But it's better to light your candles on the southern side of your table.
Okay. What about the 12 loaves of bread?
There are only Kabbalists do that. And you're not going to have, you know, if you go to the store and you buy a challah loaf, I realize that Hannah and both of you are talking about cooking and dealing with the challah. But for the majority of people who in a busy life, they don't cook challah. They go to the store and buy them. And you're not going to get 12 loaves of challah and put them on the table for Shabbat and then waste that bread because you can't eat it all in one sitting, no matter how big how many guests you have. Because all three meals, the Kabbalists put 12 loaves of bread. There are six female shapes, which are round, and there are six male shapes, which are elongated. The male is used as a yud and a vav, and the females are used as the heys. And so you put a yud hey vav hey on the right, a yud hey vav hey on the left, and a yud hey vav hey in the middle. But that's the in the middle. Those two are the ones that are the halot that you actually eat. So some people will do like a small dinner roll size challah for the others. And that way you don't waste that much bread. But it's all, you know, you try and work out different ways depending on what are you doing at each meal. But if you can do the 12 challot at one of the Shabbat meals or all three of the Shabbat meals, the meditation of the person doing the bracha on Hamotzi is to take control of the 12 signs of the zodiac as represented by the 12 chalot in the shape of Yud Hey Vav Hey on the right, Yud Hey Vav Hey on the left, and Yud Hey Vav Hey in the center.
And
so now that I've made everybody quiet, nobody has any more questions?
And we say the blessings with the ones in the middle, that we have to pray.
Yes.
the challah.
Yes, you say the blessing on the yud and the vav of the yud hey vav hey in the middle. And you put the yud on top of the vav, the right, the one on the right on top of the one on the left.
That's a lot to learn.
Would you say that pattern again? I was thinking of a question and I blocked out what you said, so I need you to repeat it. Do you mind?
I don't mind. I just don't know which pattern you want me to repeat.
Okay. Well, see, this was my thought. I'm going to bake those and I'm going to have to throw them away at Passover. Oh, gosh. Well, of course, I guess those you could feed to the birds.
Well, just for the record,
we eat most of for almost a month after Passover because we can't get around to getting the hummus back in, or not the hummus, but the foods I've taken out and that are canned goods and stuff that have hummus in it, and as well as to get back to baking and get my kitchen back like it was, you know. Oh, God. It'd be forever to bake all this. But I do remember you saying that they were little small loaves and that you would freeze them and reuse them.
And when
them.
You freeze them, I have been to Shabbat tables where the small loaves were frozen and they were reused week after week after week because nobody's going to eat them.
Right.
So
that's what the
freezer burn on the bread isn't going to bother it.
Right.
So, while you're at the Shabbat table, you know, they're out of the freezer, but they're still frozen. and then you put them back in the freezer after the meal. And, you know, you use them next week or next meal,
can
whichever.
You say? I don't know. We can do that.
I've been to tables that do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than wasting the bread. It's about consciousness. It would be better if all you ate was bread and water on Shabbat too, wouldn't it? Except you're supposed to add to the from the weekdays, so you don't eat bread and water during the week. So it wouldn't be a Shabbat if you ate like that. But if you have 12 chalot that you're not going to reuse, and you don't want to waste them, your Shabbat meals become bread and water. So don't do that. I'm playing. I'm making jokes.
Well, it's not taken out Lowe's for Shabbat, and we didn't have company, or maybe we had an extra loaf. I put it back in the freezer. But I wrap my bags in the clear bags that I get from King Arthur Flour Company.
Uh-huh.
But then I also wrap it in those plastic bags that come from the grocery store, and I've had bread stay in the freezer 9 months, and when you heated it, it tastes just like it you just baked it. So the
If you put it in the freezer, then you have to cook it again, isn't it?
A lot of that is the love that you inject in the food that you prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to realize that. What's the difference between a recipe that you prepare and that same recipe prepared by someone else, and it tastes different? It's because the love that you put into the food you prepare versus the love that I would put into the food I prepare, because for me, preparing food is not a natural thing. It's not, I don't have the time or the understanding to inject the kavanah of love that should go into the food I prepare. And so my food will not taste as good using the exact same recipe and following the exact same step. Because what is the difference is the kavanah that you put into the food. And one other point, as we're talking about the 12 chalot, and I said there's male and female.
Yes, I know.
During the 22 days of the Tishrei holidays, they're all round. So there is no male and female, although there's still the 12 chalot. So don't get confused by the change that takes place during the 22 days of Tishrei holidays.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, that's good to know. So during the 22 days, they're all female. Well, we're usually making round challah at that time anyway. So that's
correct.
Mm-hmm.
But some people only make it for Rosh Hashanah and then the Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Shuva. But the Kabbalists make it for the 22 days. And the Kabbalists dip the honey in the salt for the 22 days.
Yeah,
whereas most
too.
People just do it for Rosh Hashanah evening.
Yeah, I usually have to bake 3 days straight in a row to be able to have enough from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Sukkot, and also prepare for the synagogue. But now other ladies have taken over for the first time, and well, they started about a year ago, and so now I don't have quite so many loaves to bake, but which is helping me a lot. So I'll try to do the. I can't say when I'll get to it, but the 6 female and the 6 male, I'll call them miniatures, and I'll take a picture.
Yeah,
okay.
I have my I have my dough right now listening to the shiur right now. So let's see. I haven't done the challah yet, so I'm gonna try to do what you just said.
Well, I make little bitty miniature. I call them individual size for bar and bat mitzvahs. You know, for the guest.
They're about the size of a large dinner roll that you would get at going into a bakery or a Kaiser roll in a delicatessen. They're about that size.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, the Rhodes frozen dough is kosher.
What's kosher? I'm sorry?
It's Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S. They have the loaves, frozen dough, and they also have rolls. They're not really rolls. They're little round balls, but whenever they're defrosted, right, you can shape them into whatever you want. So those might be that's another avenue, rather than coming up with your own dough if you wanted to. I know for counting the Omer, I used that dough and made 50 rolls. Well, I didn't make 50. I made 49 rolls. And I sprinkled poppy seeds on one of them and placed that roll for whatever day of the counting of the Omer it was. I did that this year for our Shabbat dinner that we had at the synagogue. And whoever got that role was the person that got to say the blessing for counting of the Omer that night. You know, so turned out to be a nice little thing. And if you set it out on the board, you've got your 49 rolls there, small rows with whatever one for whatever day of the Omer it was, sprinkled with the poppy seeds. It also gave an opportunity to do a little teaching. I mean, I did it, and the rabbi did the teaching, but which was just comments, you know, and seeing who had the rope. You know, it turned out nice, and because most of this group didn't know about counting of the Omer, so it was a quickie little lesson.
It's a nice way to introduce it.
Yeah. Now, Jasmine, I can scan a picture of that and send it to you, so you can see what that looks like.
Thank you for what you sent me.
Since we've been talking, Hala, you and I, so I have been able to use my printer. So this week my printer is not working, so I had to just reinstall tonight, so it's back on again. So the only thing is we had another death in the family, so this weekend is tied up again with funerals and that kind of thing. So, okay, it was a very good lesson. Thank you so much. We learned some more, and for me, I heard this is the second time of hearing it, but I didn't carry through. I carried through with the final waters, but it didn't carry through with the mini, with the 12 loaves, which I'd like to try.
Good. And I just want to mention that Saturday at 6 will be Havdalah, and at 7 will be a Zohar class. But also, starting the 24th, we will have the two additional classes, Slichot in the morning at 7:30, and the Tikkuni Zohar is night at 8:30 West Coast times. And it also, on Sunday the 27th, will be a special two-hour class beginning at 10:30 a.m., for the revelation of whatever I have found for the year 5778. And that's a class that not only, I think it's important that as many people as possible tune in to listen to that class or to listen to the recording when I get it posted. It's really a significant item. Shabbat shalom to all.
Okay, Shabbat shalom. Good night.